In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The text that just was read struck me as an example of divine humor, especially on this day as we have gathered in the chapel not only our current students, especially the fourth-year men who soon are receiving calls into the office of the ministry, but also those of you who are visiting our campus and considering preparing to become ministers of the gospel, men who will speak for God. Jeremiah is not the model recruiter for the ministry. He probably makes Reverend Lang's job very difficult this day. He's more like the old U.S. Marine Corps recruiting poster, which showed a mud-covered Marine crawling under the barbed wire with the caption, "We never promised you a rose garden." God has never promised his prophets a rose garden. No one is more aware of that than those who are at this school, known as the Prairie School of the Prophets. But perhaps Jeremiah is not such a bad recruiter for the ministry after all. His words speak to all who would speak in the name of God. Now for a question. Will you dare to speak for God? You will dare to speak for God if you know God and love him in such a way that you're able to speak first honestly to him. Jeremiah exemplifies this for us, doesn't he? His words are somewhat shocking. Yet we must remember he had just been put into stocks and beaten because he spoke the word of God to others, and now he turns to his God and he speaks from the heart. O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and thou hast prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. Jeremiah sets a startling example for those who would speak in the name of God. He devastates that false piety which so defines the way in which we offer our prayers to God, as if somehow we can cover up what we really feel before God by using words made of saccharin. I call it saccharin because it looks and tastes sweet, but is nothing more than carcinogenic. No true prophet of God speaks to God in any other way than a prayer from the heart. His love for God is enough that he can speak in confidence that the God who loves him knows his heart and hears his words. Second, the man of God loves not only God, but truly loves his fellow man. And this means sometimes saying things that people don't want to hear. And yet the inner compulsion, the fire that burns within, compels the man of God to speak the truth of God to those who want to hear it and those who do not. Jeremiah put it this way, "If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary from holding it in, and I cannot." St. Paul the Apostle felt exactly the same way when he said, "Necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." To speak for God, to speak as his prophet, is not an option for the man of God. That burning fire within the prophet does not win friends and influence people necessarily. Jeremiah, as all preachers of the truth, found this out. For a prophet, there can be no confusion of the true agape of God, the true love of God, that which compelled him to give his own son into this world. Instead, though, today we see a confusion of that. No longer do we see agape, but we see a cheap substitute called sloppy agape, where success is measured by how much people love the man of God rather than the truth which he speaks. The result of sloppy agape was so clearly seen, even in the 19th century, by the Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, who wrote that Christ wore his cross on his back Our clergy wears theirs on their bellies. It is not public acclaim which follows the prophet of God. It is suffering for the name of God. Look at Jesus, the prophet of all prophets. He, the Son of God, came into a world in which he had sent prophets. And all the prophets the world had rejected. Some they had even killed. And yet he, the great prophet, was accepted no more than they. Will we not, 3 weeks from this day, gather in our churches and commemorate the world's final way of accepting Jesus Christ? Where they took him to a tree, nailed his hands and feet, and left him to suffer and die? Will we not remember the one whose true love, whose agape love for this world compelled him to come and to die for the sin of an entire world? You see, the prophet loves God. He loves his fellow man. And finally, the prophet sees beyond the present to God's own future. Only through Jesus can we make sense of the world around us. Only through Jesus can we have that love for God and that love for fellow man. And only through Jesus can we see the future which belongs to him and yet which he calls our own. Jeremiah in our text breaks into a song of praise despite the circumstances, despite what had gone on in his life. He spoke of the Lord as the dread warrior, the one who makes all things right in the end. This is the victory of Jesus. This is the very heart of the gospel. Christ Jesus, who died, lives. He whose death we remember on Good Friday is also the Christ of Easter. It is his resurrection which has destroyed the power of sin, of hell, and of death. It is his resurrection which guarantees to all of his people our own victory. You see, there's coming another day, not a day when God's prophets can be taken and put in stocks and beaten, not a day when the Son of God himself can be nailed to a cross, but a great and final day when the enemies of sin, death, and hell will be put aside forever, where God will call forth from the grave all people, both those who have believed and those who have not, both the great and the small, and all will stand before the throne of God, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the future the prophet could see. This is the future God's prophets today can see and believe and proclaim. This is the future which God gives to you and to me. Washed in the water of baptism, our death is no death at all because we are united in baptism with the one who has defeated death. Fed with the Eucharistic feast, we join together, we receive the word of forgiveness that our sins are gone, and we are transported to a feast which is yet to come, the feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which will have no end. Our sin forgiven, our hearts burning with the fire of God to proclaim this great good news of salvation, that Jesus Christ who died lives and lives forever and gives to all his gift of grace, his gift of love, his gift of forgiveness. This is behind the prophet's words. Will you dare to speak for God? Will you love God? Will you love his people? Will you look to the future? Will you join Jeremiah in his praise? Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoer. Look beyond the present to his future. There you will see much more than a promised rose garden. You will see the blessed face of the Savior, who calls you to speak for him. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.